93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Our Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
And so, just like that, the season draws to an anticlimactic close. 62 games played, 36 wins and over 100 goals scored, but the Blues just couldn't get over the final hurdle. A second Wembley appearance of the season was just one win away, but it just wasn't to be. League One football awaits us then for a third season under Kenny Jackett. We have plenty of questions to be asked and a lot to discuss following last night's heartbreak, which is still fresh in the minds of you back home. A clinical touch was missing yesterday. Do you feel that going into next season, changes are needed in the attacking regions of pitch? Did the decision to start Jamal Lowe and Ronan Curtis on the bench cost Pompey a second trip to Wembley in 2 months? Would Ronan Curtis or Louis Dennis coming off the bench actually have changed the game and helped the team to win the game? And where did it all go wrong for the Blues, who look set to storm to automatic promotion at the turn of the year? Get involved over the next 60 minutes or so. 81400 is the number to text. Start your message with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. All hopes and dreams may be dead and buried on the pitch, but we're going on a little further here on Express FM. So sit tight, stay tuned and don't go anywhere, because it's time now for the season's penultimate Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to the Friday Football Hour on Express FM. This season, as you may know by now, we are sponsored by Stagecoach Buses across the South Coast. You can find out more on what they have to offer over at stagecoachbus.com/about/south. Let's not dilly-dally anymore, though. It's time to call upon my two guests now to help me get over this one. I have the legend. No, not Alan Knight. Another legend. Pompey Women's Chairman Eric Colborne.
Good evening, Jake.
Good evening, Eric. Welcome again to the Football Hour. I see you granted my wish of bringing me some tissues to get me through the hour. Thanks for that. And alongside Eric tonight, we have Sam Stone. Sam, welcome back.
Evening, Jake.
And Sam, we'll start with you tonight. Yesterday's game, I would love to sit here and talk about something else for an hour, but at the end of the day, I can't, and we have to. It wasn't the best performance all round, really, for the Blues, was it?
No, over the two legs, we just didn't really seem like creating anything going forward, and it was a moment of quality for Maguire that kind of, well, separated the two teams. Yesterday was just, it was a bit of an anti-climax, if I'm honest. We just really just huffed and puffed and didn't really offer anything, and it was, obviously, it's just gutting to see, but we'll have to go again next year.
We go again. If there ever was a day for the Blues to really turn up and put it into first gear, Eric, it was yesterday. A win was needed to at least take it to extra time, but we had to settle for a draw. Pompey fell short when it mattered most. It happens, we know that for sure. And though you can't win every game, it does feel quite gutting how, you know, at this moment in time, we just couldn't quite turn up last night.
Yes, I think that 62 games had something to do with it, probably. And I think on a the luck probably wasn't with us last night. I mean, there was a couple of good chances, yeah, which, you know, yeah, a few inches difference would have made it, you know, would have given us a goal. You could say we were unlucky, or the player missed the chance or whatever, but we did have, there weren't a lot of chances. No. But I thought what chances there were definitely fell to us on the night. I mean, they were defending a 1-0 lead, and I suppose you expect them to come and spoil the game. But I thought that over the over that 90 minutes last night, or 95, whatever we played, I thought we were the better side, and on another day, we could have won the game, certainly by a goal at least, if not by two.
Sam, where do you kind of pinpoint last night's failure to win? Because as Eric said, it wasn't a poor performance on the fact that we could have won the game and we had the chances to win the game. But without picking out individuals, of course, we do try and avoid that. But I think it's down to either one or two things in particular. One of which being the lack of a clinical finish and really poor balls going into the final third. I think that was the defining factor. Bar the two or three chances we had to actually score, I think the rest of the game, it was down to that.
Well, yeah, you look at Evans' chance in the first half, that's kind of a... You expect him to finish that, and as Eric said, if that goes in, that changes the whole game. Sunderland, yeah, credit, you'd have to give some credit to Sunderland. When I saw their lineup with the kind of four centre mids playing across the middle, you kind of questioned it, because if we get an early goal, then they're not in a position to come out and attack at us. But credit to Jack Ross, they spoiled the game. I haven't seen a team do it for 90 minutes, but they managed to do it for 90 minutes, and we just couldn't get that elusive goal, really.
The thoughts there of Eric Colborne and Sam Stone. Don't forget, you can get involved back home too. Has the lack of an ever-present goal scorer cost Pompey promotion to the Championship? What has infuriated you the most following last night's exit from the playoffs? Are you remaining positive still that Pompey remain on the up and improving brick by brick every season? And what are your expectations going into next season? Please do get in touch. You can do that by following one of the usual methods. Text us, start your message with the word express followed by your name and message, send that to 81400. You can contact us on email, pompey@expressfm.com, or find us on social media at expressfm if you are on Twitter. After the break, myself, Eric and Sam will be back to delve a little deeper into last night's playoff exit at the hands of Sunderland, who will play either one of Charlton or Doncaster in the final next Sunday. We'll go through some of your interaction too, of course. Please keep your messages suitable to read, though. I appreciate that emotions are running high still, but we do want to get through as many of your opinions as possible. Before we do get to any of those, though, in part two, we'll be hearing from a boss, Kenny Jackett, who shared his post-match thoughts with Andy Moon on the touchline last night.
Good momentum in the first half, very good, but ultimately in the end, we've just lost a very, very tight 180 minutes.
We'll hear from him after the break, so don't go anywhere. Keep it 93.7 FM as we hear from McGaffer right after this break, right here on the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses. They offer adult day rider tickets at the discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple app or Google Play Store on Android. Before we pan back over to my panel of Eric Colborne and Sam Stone this evening, let's take a listen to the thoughts of Pompey boss Kenny Jackett, who was interviewed by Pompey Live commentator Andy Moon following last night's 0-0 draw at Fratton Park.
Well, Kenny, a heartbreaking and disappointing way to end the season. How do you sum it up? What have you just been saying to the players in the dressing room there?
Yeah, some big saves from McLaughlin. Gareth Evans' first half, where he's got onto Ollie Hawkins, knocked down. Clark's hit the bar from the resultant corner. And then Vaughan's chance where, he's headed it back. I thought he's headed it down. He's headed it well. And McLaughlin's made a good save, with his feet. And they were the key moments today in a very tight game, a tight 180 minutes, definitely. Maguire ultimately has produced the bit of quality that's decided the tie and got them through to Wembley.
How frustrating was that final 6 minutes of injury time when you just couldn't quite seem to get the ball towards their box?
No, we couldn't. We built up a good head of steam, I thought, in the first half, but second, isolated incidents apart, really. Pittman went up with a keeper and, nobody followed up. Vaughan's chance, Vaughan's header, which keeper made a great save with his feet. Those are isolated incidents, but we needed one of those to go our way, to lift the crowd again in the second period to, be able to pick up momentum. Good momentum in the first half, very good, but ultimately in the end, we've just lost a very, very tight 180 minutes.
What do you say to the players after a match like that?
Yeah, just a good summing up, an honest summing up of certainly today, which is the most important thing, and then the season overall.
How sad that you fallen short today and just the season overall from the objective of promotion?
Yeah, obviously, always you want to try to go up and get one of those three promotion places. We've pushed it, we've got into the playoffs, we've got 88 points on a regular season.
and we've won a cup competition. We had a good run in the FA Cup, but the most important thing now is that we regroup and go again next season.
Just a word on the team selection. What was the thinking behind leaving Lowe and Curtis on the bench today?
Yeah, I think for Jamal and for Ronan, it's been, you know, a tough few weeks, and you know, we've rather limped over the line, you know, with recent performances and results. And I do think that as dangerous as they've been all season, yeah, I think they've been just struggling of late and struggling for energy.
When you look back at the season, or even today, or the first leg, do you have any regrets?
Of course, you always look at, you know, what you could have done better as a manager, what your team could have done, how things panned out, and then you reflect. 100% you do all of the time, and particularly if, you know, we didn't lose today, but we've drawn a game that we wanted to win, and you know, those key moments didn't quite go our way. Obviously, as a manager, you think if you put different people in those situations, you know, Ollie Hawkins' header, you know, at the start of the second half, you know, they're key moments where, you know, we gave their keeper a chance to be the hero. Instead of putting those away, and obviously then, you know, you always go through different scenarios and selections as a manager. Yes,
obviously people want to know, there'll be vultures circling. Will you be able to keep hold of the likes of Matt Clark and Jamal Lowe this summer?
We'll see. They're both under contract, so, you know, if there is bids, then, you know, we'll build again. And you know, very, very rare that the team is the same from one season to the next, and I don't think ours will be. But if it's not, we have to come out with a side that can compete and can compete towards the top end of League One, and I'm confident that will be the case. But in terms of, you know, players leaving, you know, we will see if and when bids come in. That's the situation.
Yeah. Just finally, you've been around the block as a manager, but how much does this hurt tonight?
Yeah, it does hurt, obviously, and you know, in such a tight game and such a tight tie for 180 minutes. But you know, in terms of the season, I do think in terms of results and performances, we ran out of energy. You know, if you're looking from probably around about Easter onwards, you know, the Burton game, the Coventry game, you know, from then on, getting the first goal was tough for us, something we've always been able to do on a regular basis. Proud of the players, and you know, make sure that we have a break, but then go again and come back strong next year.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts on the last game and on the playoff campaign as a whole. But it's not just his thoughts that we want on the show tonight. That's right, we want yours back home too. Don't forget, you can get all your Blues views across to us tonight as well. Text us, 81400 is the number to send those to. Start your message with the word Express, otherwise we won't get them. Email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us at expressfm. Got some texts coming in already, as you can imagine. Mark on the text says, season was a positive, great day at Wembley, huge amounts of points, what would normally get promotion, and most importantly, the owners are starting to address the Fratton Park rebuild, and League One will be weaker next season. That's from Mark on the text. And one more on Twitter from Chris Elston. He says, why do we keep dwelling on 62 matches? Sunderland also played extra games and find not look as tired. Just feel tactically we were found wanting over the two legs. We were not good enough. Desperately need a striker to consistently score over the season. Thank you to Mark and Chris for getting in touch. Right. This is usually part of the show now, gents, where I usually go over the goals from a previous game, but following last night's stalemate, we can't do that. But we can analyse, and we will analyse, what I have picked out to be the three biggest opportunities which could have seen us sat here with a slightly more upbeat tone this evening. It may not have been the prettiest of performances, but the chances were there, as Eric mentioned earlier, and we start off with this one. And actually, I think that this one was the best chance of the night. I mean, it came in the first half.
Brown to deliver into the area, looking for Hawkins. Hawkins gets his head to the ball. Evans, great save. Sunderland clear away.
Ollie Hawkins with a small flick to Gareth Evans, who just pokes it straight to John McLaughlin in the Sunderland goal. And it's one of those, Eric, who you could either say it was a really good save, or it's one of those where you could say anywhere but there. But it was a good chance nonetheless for Pompey.
Yes, it was a good chance. I think going back to one of the guy that contacted you earlier on about Sunderland played the same number of games. Yeah. I thought they looked tired as well. I thought they were running on empty, The possible advantage they had was that they were sat on a 1-0 lead, which I think made the difference, if you know what I mean, and that sort of thing. But I think they were running on empty as well.
Yeah. Do you think they'll struggle in the final against either Charlton or Doncaster? I think especially against Charlton, they could become undone against those.
Quite possibly. If you go back to when we won the Checker Trade Trophy, I came on and said about Sunderland wouldn't get automatic promotion because of the fact they'd got too many games to play in that period to the end of the season. Yeah. If you looked at the actual league table and the games they got to play, you'd have thought, oh, they've got a great chance of making that with the number of games, the number of points available to them. But it's too many games. Mm. And it catches up with you.
Even with their squad depth as well.
Even with their squad depth. And we all know it's about key players and players on form and this sort of thing. And I think I think what everyone tends to forget as well is that you don't realise what injuries players are carrying. You know, those slight injuries. They have to play the players because you can't take rest all your big players as you're going into key games, and every game coming up to the end of the season was a key game for it, wasn't it? It didn't matter which game it was, we've got to win this one all the time. So the pressure was on for quite a long period of time, and I think that's what ultimately probably told. Let's be fair about it, the players gave everything,
of course.
Yeah. It gave everything.
I mean, it was a fantastic season just as a whole, Sam. As we mentioned earlier, a great FA Cup run, which was being cried out for by the fans. A Checker Trade Trophy win, I know it's kind of a bit controversial for competition. Perhaps had we played less games in that, we might have been more fitter going into the end of the season. But it is all ifs and buts. And I think overall, if you sit back and you look at it, although you are still raw from this emotion that it's only happened 24 hours ago, not even that, but you sit back and you look at it, a fourth place finish, League One playoff semi-final, Checker Trophy win, a really good run in the FA Cup. It's not a bad season overall, is it?
No, not at all. And you have to look at it. It's our second season back in League One after spending 4 years in League Two. And it's this season we built on what we had last season, nearly got in the playoffs last season. So in my opinion, it's been a great season. We just got to... This summer is a massive summer for the club because expectations next year will be looking towards getting promotion, either winning the playoffs and going one further or getting automatic next season. So this is a massive summer for the club and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
A lengthy text here from Steve in Fratton. He says, it's disappointing to not be promoted after such a great season, but I think we overachieved a little bit too early on. We were punching way above our weight in the first few months and were top of the league for a long period before Christmas, but I think where it all started going wrong for us was the hectic period with all the extra cup games coming into the schedule. It all just took its toll in the end, if I'm honest. We're not quite ready to go up to the next level. Last season we finished 8th and missed the playoffs, but this season we finished 4th and almost took the chance for automatic promotion to the final day. So there has been progress. Oh well, as Paul Cook would say, we go again next season. Stephen Fratton, who also adds play up Pompey. They are flooding in tonight and we've not even got to my second chance of the game, which I wanted to speak about. But we will come to that after the break and we'll come to more of your text, tweets and emails. If you haven't got in touch, you can do that right now. You can text your message, start with the word express to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can tweet us at Express FM. So join us again shortly as the Football Hour continues right here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM with myself, Jake Smith, Eric Colborne and Sam Stone. This season, we've been sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50. Just hop on one of their many buses across the city and beyond to show your student ID and you will be on your way. You can pay via contactless too if you're short of change. How easy is that? Okay, now back to the chances from last night. We've already spoke about the first half and Gareth Evans' chance, which was saved by Sunderland goalkeeper John McLaughlin. But then in the second half, another great save from the Sunderland goalkeeper.
Now he looks for Brown, who stayed onside, into the area to the far post. Hawkins' header tipped over the bar.
Another great save, Sam. Could you pinpoint last night's failure to win down to the goalkeeper, because he did have a really good game.
Well, yeah, there's a reason he got in the team of the season for League One. And I see on Twitter a lot of the time Sunderland fans seem to think if they didn't have him, they would have missed out on the playoffs, because he's been that crucial for them. I think the saves last night the chances could have been, I think, better directed. If Hawkins gets that either side of him, if Evans got his chance either side of him, it's going to be most likely end up in a goal. So they were straight at him, but he's dealt with them well, and you can see why their fans kind of feel that if they didn't have him, they might have been in a bit more trouble than they were.
Yeah. Barry Clements on Facebook, getting in touch before the show, he says, "I'm embarrassed. No fight, no grit, nothing. That was not a Pompey performance. On paper, it was a good season, but the performance was not acceptable. I'll never be ashamed to lose to a better side, but it is inexcusable to offer that kind of effort." Back to last night, though. We mentioned the two chances previous, and then former Sunderland striker James Vaughan came onto the pitch, and it wasn't too long until he had a chance of his own.
Lowe tries to flick it on to get past Oviedo, and Lowe's away from the left back, and Lowe's across to the near post. Sunderland make a mess of the clearance. Pittman lofting it to the far post. Vaughan saved! Close gets the second ball, lays it off.
Although it wasn't quite last minute, that had Andy Moon. Andre Green, he scored, all written all over it, but it wasn't to be, and it was another save from McLaughlin in the goal for Sunderland, Eric. And what do you think? I mean, it's been debated time and time again over the course of the season as to whether or not Pompey have or need an out-and-out goal scorer. Well, last night proved to me, I'm afraid, that actually we are lacking one. I mean, I know we've got Brett Pittman, and I know that's been an argument throughout the entire season, but for me personally, it's not quite the same standard as last season.
Well, Brett hasn't been playing
all
season.
No.
And possibly not in the same position either, to be fair. I think you said how many goals have we scored this season?
I think 108 in total.
108 goals.
Across all competitions.
Yeah. It's a lot of goals, isn't it? It's a lot of goals. I suppose it's the argument of, do you have one goal scorer scoring a lot of goals, or do you share them around?
Yeah.
I do like to see the goals shared around, to be honest with you, because I do feel that if you've got that one goal scorer, the opposition does tend to sort of make certain that he is marked out the game.
Well, at the end of the day, that's how we won League Two, goals being shared around the pitch.
Absolutely, and I think that it's important that goals are shared around the pitch. You know, it's easy to say, you can pick on all sorts of areas. I mean, I thought Lowe unfortunately got a bad kick in the first game at Sunderland on the Saturday night. I'm pretty certain, how can I put this, Sunderland didn't want him in the game, let's put it like that. And that was fairly evident. It's difficult. I like to see goals coming from all over the pitch, and it's easy to criticise. We could sit here and say, do you know what, I don't think our centre half scored enough goals this season. You know, it's,
I don't think McGilvery scored enough this season, to be honest with you.
You know, and that's, you know, you look at it from all sides, it is about, I think you've got to look at all your areas for goal scoring. And you can't put all your eggs in one basket, because it's easy, you get that. Let's look at Sunderland with their Will Grigg, you know.
£4 million.
Yes. What happens if he gets injured? First game, he gets injured. Then what do you do? All your eggs in one basket.
Well, I'm not being funny, but even with Will Grigg, he was signed for £4 million back in January. I think he's only managed four goals in the league since then. Like you say, it's throwing all your eggs in one basket and trying to get that.
£1 million a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
And as I say, you go back to what we're trying, I'm sure Kenny's trying to do, and what the owners are trying to do. They're trying to build a side going forward. We're looking at exciting young players. And you've got to remember, I mean, would this be his second full season.
Half a season with us when we won the League Two title.
Yeah, so that's sort of 2.5 years of being a professional footballer again. Ronan Curtis is his first year. Goodness knows how many games he's played.
Well, he's not really had a break since.
He's had no break whatsoever. So I think they've done fantastic job. They're great, exciting players. And come, you know, give them the rest, get them back next season. With, obviously, there'll be one or two changes. Of course, there's going to be one or two people coming in to strengthen the side. And it might be that, you know, that goal scorer that might be, you know, on the horizon. We don't know. No. But we've strengthened the team this season. There's any doubt about that. We're, as you said, a better side. Mm. The league doesn't lie. We ended up fourth. Okay, fair enough. That's where we are. But we've got some great young players. And what, again, goes under the radar is we've got one or two young players that have been bought for the future. And isn't that fantastic?
And it's fair to say that not only have we improved, Eric, but we've matched the expectations that were set out at the start of the season. And I think those were among the general consensus of Pompey fans, Sam, to try and secure a strong finish and a playoff spot at minimum. And we've got that, as well as that cup run and the Checkatrade Trophy win. We have matched those expectations.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can argue that at the start of the season we set out, playoffs is the goal, we've achieved it. I think the frustrations come from a little bit is the fact how well we started the season and up until Christmas it looked like we're going to walk away with the league. I think the frustrations come from the fact we've not blown it, but there's two good sides in Luton and Barnsley who thoroughly deserve to go up, have been exceptional this season and just taken it away from us, and I think that's where the frustrations come from, because we were in the position, a very good position, to capitalise on and get Championship football.
You know, I think we should have learnt from our good friends down in Devon, Eric, Plymouth, Argyle. Nothing is won in December, as we found out in 2017 when we beat them to the title. So going into next season, Sam, do you feel that Kenny should be in the market for that danger man up top? Someone who will bang in 25 goals a season? Or, like you said earlier, you know, goals being shared around the pitch, are you happy continuing with that kind of pattern?
I like, as you said, the goals being shared around, because in recent times, the successful teams we've seen have had that, the Paul Cook League 2 team, this team, this season. I just feel with Ollie Hawkins playing up front, we could have that player who does his... who does what he does. He holds the ball well, not recently, but the majority of the season he has been holding the ball up and playing well. I feel that we can have a player who does his role but also is clinical in front of goal and has that kind of Brett Pittman-esque side to them, and when a chance comes they're going to be ruthless with it and put it in the net, because there's plenty of chances this season that Ollie Hawkins could have probably doubled his goal tally if he really, really wanted to, or was more clinical.
A load more tweets, texts and emails coming in. Pompey Nike on Twitter says, well, what to say? I think it comes down to peaking at the wrong time of the season, losing players in January and then not replacing them, failing to get a striker that fits the system. We'll see what happens next season. However, this is progression from last year. Anthony Hess says, feeling nowhere near as disappointed as I should be, probably because I know we'd get beaten by Charlton, let alone in the Championship. Anyway, Pompey lacked ideas, ambition and urgency throughout the game, and I thought leaving our season two top goal scorers on the bench was criminal. And some texts coming in from Ben on the text. He says, over the two legs, Sunderland were slightly the better team. We were poor over the two legs, apart from the first 15-20 minutes of the first tie. What was poor was the way we lost. Curtis should have come on for Evans in the last 10-15 minutes at least, or one of the centre-backs should have gone up for the last few moments of the game. We should have risked losing 1 or 2-0 on the night going for it. In the end, we lost too nicely, and I think Kenny Jackett has to take some of that blame. And that's a fair point, Sam. Do you feel that in that moment we only made two substitutions? We got, Ronan Curtis and Louis Dennis on the bench, two attacking players. Do you feel as though we should have just thrown the dice and you know, you'd rather lose 1 or 2-0 and say that not denying they've tried, obviously, but it looks as though they've, you know, gone and tried to win the game from that point of view. Do you feel as though you'd have preferred one of those to come on?
Well, I mean, in general, the substitutions yesterday were a little bit It was a little bit strange. Yeah, I think that's the word. Seeing the starting lineup with Jamal Lowe and Curtis on the bench, it was a bit odd. We're not too sure what he was thinking there, but the Otterbore started. I could see why he started him. He's got electric pace, and if he could get him going at their right back, he could have had some success. And I think as well, if you having Jamal Lowe on the bench to come on could have been key, but it just didn't seem to work out. When he came on, he couldn't get the ball, and when he did, he actually did some good stuff with it. Yeah. But he just didn't get it enough. I would have agreed just to throw Curtis on at the end, because for me he's a live wire. He gets stuff going, he's exciting, and I would have thrown him on at the end just to liven the place up a bit, because we ended up losing the game with the ball. In added time we didn't have a shot. It was in the corner the whole
didn't seem
whole
as time. Though there was enough urgency.
Yeah, we should have. I would have thrown him on just to kind of get the crowd going a bit, because he would have done that.
We're going to come back to the Pompey chat in just a few moments after the break, but we're going to take a minute or two to reflect on Havant and Waterlooville with some news coming from Westleigh Park over the course of a week since our last show. Normally at this stage of the show we hear from Henry Deacon with a non-league preview of the weekend, but of course that season across the non-league, well, and the Football League now, has ended. So we can tell you that Havant and Waterlooville have made 5 signings this week as they head into life back in the National League South. New manager Paul Doswell, who spent over a decade in charge of Sutton United, has brought Jonah Iunga back to the club. He signed young prospect Benny Reid from Horndean, striker Anthony Straker from Bath City, goalkeeper Ross Warner, who was released by Sutton earlier this month, and Rory Deacon, who also played under Doswell at Gander Green Lane. The Hawks, along with these exciting new signings, have also announced season ticket prices for the upcoming campaign. Adults are priced at just £99.99. Those aged between 12 and 16 get in for only £40 for the season, whilst under 12s get in for free. And they have also secured the services of fan favourite and former Pompey winger Wes Fogden, who has agreed a new contract with the club to remain at Westleigh Park for another year. So those are the latest developments at Havant and Waterlooville. After the final break then, the three of us will be reverting back to the Pompey chat and taking a little bit more of a positive spin on events at PO4 and looking ahead, beginning to dream already, if we may, to next season at Fratton Park. It wasn't the end of a campaign we were hoping for this time around, but we know full well from previous years that when Portsmouth get knocked down, they get straight back up again. And it's not just the improvements on the pitch that we're excited to see either. Of course, we are still welcoming in your Pompey thoughts and reaction to last night's game up until the turn of the hour here on the Football Hour. If you haven't done so already, then this is your final reminder if you wish to join in the conversation. Text 81400 with your name and message. Start with the word Express. You can email us, pompey@expressfm.com, or tweet us at ExpressFM. Stick around, we're here until 7 and back right after these short ads here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey as the Football Hour continues on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome once again to the Friday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses, and I'm playing footsies with Eric Colborne underneath the desk. Sponsored by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and beyond too. And as you can imagine, the text, tweets and emails absolutely flooding in this evening. The first one from Aaron Swift. He says, "Hi guys, I have a suspicion that Kenny Jackett and the team did not really want promotion this time out. 0 goals in 180 minutes. Think about it. They put on a bit of a show to make it look good at the end of the season, but over 2 90-minute games, they showed very little, and that's against a poor Sunderland side, who are likely to get a real walloping against possibly Charlton. If promoted, a big overhaul of the squad would have been essential, and Kenny has been there before with Mill and Wolves." He wants to stay in Division 1, he says. "Even in Division 1, a substantial change is in order next season. Right through the centre, central defence, central midfield and striker. That is a minimum." That's from Alan Swift. We will be looking ahead to next season a little bit more next week. By the way, Alan, if you want to get in touch next Friday from 6 o'clock. Chris in Italy, says, "End of season. Honestly, not surprised that we got eliminated last night. And what Paul Cook said, you are where you are. The table, the playoffs do not lie. Worrying that both seasons, Kenny Jackett's teams run out of steam in the running This happened last season too. This time, what was marked was that none of the winter loans or signings offered anything like the core of the first squad, so we had no useful Plan B players. Even if we had got promoted, I would have predicted a Rotherham-styled quick return without massive investment in championship-class players. Imperative, a pair of attackers like Tony or Tom Eaves, and Thompson-esque midfield general. Happy holidays, though. See you in August. Hopefully see you in August, Chris, in Italy. And just one more on the text. Mark says, any news on season tickets prices and what has taken place this summer on Fratton Park? Well, in regards to the season ticket prices, we have no news for you on that at the moment, but I'm sure over the duration of the summer, if anything is released, you can see all of the latest news on those prices either on the Pompey official website or on expressfm.com as well. Okay, so before we go any further with the kind of on the pitch or off the pitch events at Fratton Park, Eric Colborne is here and he's here to share some developments with Pompey and the community. Eric, take it away.
Yeah, this is I think quite interesting. Very interesting indeed. For the young girls listening, PITC Girls Football Week, which is the 10th to the 14th of June, offering free sessions to primary and secondary schools in the area. Secondary schools in the area. That's a fantastic offer. So I'm sure there's teachers listening to this around the area of Portsmouth. Get in contact with PITC and get some free sessions at for your school. I think that's a great opportunity for girls in the area. Moving on, even more good news. PITC Girls Trial, Saturday 22nd of June. If you want to check out PIT's social media channels, a really exciting programme following on from a brilliant year which saw PITC win 10 trophies across the age groups. Cool. And Hampshire FA Girls Youth Club of the Year. I mean, they just win everything, don't they, PITC? That's another fantastic trophy that they put in the cupboard there.
Makes
so,
you proud to be Pompey, Eric.
Absolutely fantastically proud to be Pompey. That's, I think, well, it just goes to show why this club is going places and really going places. And finally, anybody that's interested who'd like to do a Spinnaker Tower abseil on September the 8th, if you'd like to join the team, email amanda.osman@pompeyitc.org.uk or just phone the PITC on 02392 728 89.
I'm on that straight away.
I'll come and watch you, Jake.
That sounds quite interesting. Should we do a Football Hour live from a Spinnaker Tower?
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Down from here. Just a few more text tweets and emails coming in. Ollie Birch on Twitter says, on last night, I genuinely think we gave 100%. We ran out of steam, but lack quality in key areas. If we don't win, then it can be painful viewing. Only thing giving me hope is Kenny Jackett's Wolves team were dynamic and exciting. That's Ollie Birch on Twitter. And one more from James Parkhouse with a bit more of a positive spin on events. 3 years ago, we were here, lost to Plymouth, and lots calling for Paul Cook's head, saying that we're not good enough. Look what happened the following season. Personally, I can only see Matt Clark leaving this summer. What great foundations we have here for next season. And talking about players coming and going, Sam... Look, Matt Clark, you know, nothing set in stone. He could well be a Pompey player next season. He's contracted to be a Pompey player next season. But I think we all know deep down that this could be time on his Fratton Park career. I do think that he could be in the Championship next season.
Well, yeah, I can't think of a centre-half since the Premier League days that we've had since, like, Matt Clark. He's on the ball. He's definitely got Championship quality, probably upper-end Championship quality. So composed. Wins everything in the air, so you can see why the Championship clubs are looking at him. You have to look as well, he's only got a year left on his contract. We don't want another Ender Stevens kind of situation where we lose a Premier League player on a free, so we have to think financially as well. And I personally can't see him being a Portsmouth player next season, but obviously everyone's got to wish him well, and because he could reach the very top. He is that good.
The very best of luck to Matt Clark in his future endeavours. If, of course, he leaves Fratton Park, nothing is for certain yet. That's for sure. We'll get all of the news on anything that happens over the course of the summer, of course. But speaking of players leaving, for definite, Pompey have released a statement just after 5 o'clock this evening with their retained list. Now, there are two players who have been released from the squad following the end of their contracts, one of which, Dion Donoghue, and also Dan Smith. They have been released, and Eric, it's unfortunate for Dion Donoghue, a player we've not seen too much this season. When we have seen him, he showed that he's got good quality, but I think that perhaps injury has caused his kind of Pompey career to run out now.
Yes, I think that's the case, Jake. I like Dion Donoghue. I thought he was a very good player. I remember the pass he played to Andre Green at Norwich. Mm. That I thought showed his class, and I thought he was an excellent player. But unfortunately, yes, injury has told.
And just some more on that statement. Nathan Thompson, his contract is ending, well, this summer, so we could potentially have seen his last game for Pompey, but discussions are still ongoing between the player and the club over a new contract. Omar Bogle, Lloyd Isgrove, Viv Solomon Otterbore and James Vaughan have all returned to their parent clubs following their loans. And at the end of the statement, Portsmouth Football Club have added, Pompey would like to thank all of those departing players for their service to the club and wish them well for the future. Sam, looking ahead to the future at Fratton Park, the Fratton Park developments, actually. The South Stand is getting a bit of a revamp, as we know, this summer. And, of course, the floodlight being moved to the car park behind the North Stand is a bit of a memento to kind of keep that in the tradition of Fratton Park. You've got to be excited to be a Pompey fan, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well.
Yeah, we're doing it the right way instead of just splashing cash always on the pitch. It seems to be we're developing it in the right way, a long-term plan that's sustainable, which we haven't had in the past. So it's the only way to go forward for the club at the moment. And yeah, it's exciting. It'll be exciting to see what developments are taking place when we get back in August.
It certainly will be exciting. And Eric, just a quick one on that floodlight. Last night's game was officially the last game at Fratton Park under all four floodlights. An historic game, really, an historic moment. Just how happy are you to see that floodlight actually being retained and just kind of moved to the car park to keep it in that tradition of Portsmouth Football Club?
Fantastic. I think it's a brilliant idea. I love going, you know, when you're up on Portsdown Hill and looking down, yeah, you can see the floodlights. And
I can see it from my house.
And you'll be able to see that floodlight from Portsdown Hill, and that is absolutely fantastic.
Sam Stone, thank you for joining me this evening. Eric, thank you for joining me. One last word from me. It is only by experiencing the crushing lows that one can truly appreciate the highs. So there we have it then. Those are your thoughts on last night's miserable game under the floodlights at Fratton Park, and also the opinions of my two guests this evening, Eric Colborne, Sam Stone. It's been a pleasure to have you both in the studio with me this evening for this one. And of course, always a thank you to those who got involved on the text tweets and emails this evening. Your contributions are hugely appreciated. Keep it express now then. There's an hour of non-stop music until 8 this evening, where the wonderful Gloria Miller takes over with 2 hours of great tunes. Music for the Soul returns with her in an hour's time before Hip Shaker at 10 through to midnight. Ian McGuinness is back tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. to wake you up with the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He'll be going through all your musical features and local events in and around the city of Portsmouth, as well as providing regular sport, travel, news and weather updates through until 10 a.m, accompanied, of course, with the usual great tunes. James Robbins is back on Monday evening for the final Monday Football Hour of the season. He returns again on Thursday too, of course. And then I'm back at the same time next Friday for the final edition of the Football Hour of this season. Well, it hasn't quite ended how we had hoped, but let's keep the faith. Spend some time to cool off from last night and look forward to the next season, where, believe you me, the Blues will come back much stronger. I will see you in a week. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Have a fantastic weekend. And all that leaves me to say is a massive keep the faith, play up Pompey.